gee, this is what, part what? Part seven? Didn't know we'd be spending that much time on the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to keep going today, and this prayer is very important to us, as it was to the disciples. Remember in Luke 11, after the disciples heard Jesus pray, they said, Lord, we want to know how to pray like you pray. Would you teach us? And so Jesus said, okay, when you pray, here's how you're going to pray. And in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, he continued with this teaching on this particular prayer. Let's see if we can say it together. I've been saying it every week. I hope you got it memorized. But let's say it together. It'll be on the screen to help you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Got it nailed down? Sure. It's great. I hope you're teaching your children this prayer. But it wasn't meant just to quote. It was meant to live by. And that's our heart in this series. Is I know it's happening for me that I can really start to live this prayer, not just say the prayer. In your insert this morning, you'll see the seven reflections that we have on this prayer. And we've got through four of them. And the first one, it's already filled in for you there. You can see it. The first one, our Father in heaven, that's our position. What is our position, church, when we pray? We are what? Children. We're children of God. We're sons and daughters, and we've been adopted. And we're a part of a family. Our Father means there's more than one of us, and we're part of the family. This is part of the family. And even out beyond this, when I pray, I'm not praying alone. I'm praying to my Heavenly Father, who is in heaven. And that's awesome. Heaven reached down to me. I couldn't reach that far, but heaven could. And heaven reached down and touched my life and brought salvation into my life. That's awesome. It also gives God a perspective that we don't have. And so we're praying to our Father as children. He's our Father. That's how we approach him in prayer. If you approach any other way, this prayer will collapse. So that's how important position number one is. Next, number two was what? Praise. Right? Praise and adoration. It's already filled in for you. You see all the scriptures. We spent a Sunday talking about keeping God's name holy. And we do that a lot of ways. We do that in our speech, right? Everybody thinks about that. The Ten Commandments, you know. We don't want to defame God's name. We want to honor his name, and that's all good. But what's more important is that we live it. We live in a way that brings honor to God's name. We are exhorted in scripture to be holy, as God is holy. We looked at the three levels of holiness. Again, we want to live our lives in a way that brings honor to his name. And then the third reflection, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was important because we spent three Sundays on it, didn't we? Yeah, the idea of God's kingdom coming, his will being done on the earth as it already is in heaven. That's pretty cool to have this heaven-earth connection in prayer. Bam, that blows my mind. That'll kick. Some of you have maybe struggled praying. You just need this connection. You need to realize when you're praying, all of heaven is listening. The angels are listening. There are prayers of the saints being offered up as incense before the throne of God. And God's kingdom is coming to earth. Jesus said when he was here, the kingdom of God is near you. Then he went on to say, the kingdom of God is within you. What is the kingdom of God? Jesus said it's not a place. He says kingdom wasn't of this world. Kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He said the kingdom of God is near you. The kingdom of God is here. We are living the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is expanding. What is the definition of the kingdom of God? Do you remember our definition? The rule and reign of God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. And we're all part of it. And we need to think kingdom. We need to live kingdom. When you get out of this is the part of the prayer that really influenced, that really affected me over the last few weeks. I mean, I knew this prayer, but I really began to live it. And getting out of bed in the morning, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done today on earth as it is in heaven. Use me, Lord, to expand the kingdom. And the last Sunday we spent on that, remember, we talked about the mystery of the kingdom. And then we talked about our children. On Children's Sunday, they're part of the kingdom. Yeah. Yeah, and God's vision for the kingdom is Christian families, right? And we're raising our children as kingdom children. And God's wanting to expand the kingdom. It's here. It's among us. It's happening. And don't believe. People tell you, oh, the church is on the decline. No, it's not. I will grant you in America, it is. But not worldwide, is it? And I personally am believing for a revival in America. Amen? I believe our best days are not behind us. But there are things still yet to come as we pray this prayer and as we live this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? So there we talked about our purpose, the plan, and the planting. Children are the seed of the kingdom. Well, then last week we moved to reflection number 4, give us this day our daily bread. Now that's a little difficult for us by this slide you see that we used last week. It's a little difficult when we think about this part of the prayer. We think maybe this isn't necessary for us. Living in America, I don't know if there's anybody here today that doesn't have food. I mean, you can get food anywhere in our country. Even those in need, there are places. Food is abundant. We have stores that are open 24/7. That blew our Russian friends away when we brought them. Yeah. You mean you can come here at 2 o'clock in the morning and get food? Yeah, you can. Yesterday, Connie cleaned out our refrigerator. It was amazing. There was stuff in there, and we were throwing it away. I was thinking, well, that had to be there a long time, right? We got an abundance, you know. We got such an abundance, it's getting bad in the refrigerator. We have so much to eat, we couldn't eat it all. It's amazing. And I thought some of the stuff we were throwing away, there are people in other lands, that would be a feast. Well, I just threw in the trash can. So we are so blessed. So we entertained the idea that maybe we could skip this part of the prayer. Since we live in a land of prosperity and abundance and overflow, maybe this part of the prayer is not that significant to us. But if you were here last week, we wanted to look at this prayer in a little different way. I think it's more than food. This prayer, this part of the prayer is about dependency on God and about acknowledging that He alone is our provision and He alone provides life's necessities each and every day. So our fourth reflection last week, do you remember what it was? It was providential provision. Providential provision. That's what this part of the prayer is about. And remember, providence means the foreseeing care and guidance of God, the foresight, provident care, and the one I like the best, to look ahead, to look ahead. So the basis of this part of the prayer is that God is our provider and that God is looking ahead and He knows my needs before I know my needs. I mean, I want you to embrace that today. God knows your needs before you even know your needs. Remember, we looked at verse 8 just before the prayer. What was it? Jesus said, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ever ask Him. We could easily say, He knows my needs before I even know them. That's why I'm not asking, because I don't know about them yet. But God already knows. He's already been. He's looked ahead. And He is my provider. Providentially, He is my provider. Do you realize how this can change your life? This will change the way you think. And the way you deal with issues and problems and concerns. We reflected on the prayer of Proverbs 30, verses 7 and 9. Not on the screen, but you remember it, right? The writer of Proverbs said, there's two things I'd like before I die. What was the first one? Let me be truthful. He said, let lies be far from me. I want to be as far away from lies as I can get. I want to be a man of character and truthfulness. And secondly, this is a weird part of the prayer. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. But give me only my daily bread. Now, this is a prayer for us. I mean, we could go to a buffet today. You can eat all you want. This prayer is significant to us, isn't it? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much. Anybody here got too much? How do you know if you have too much? Here's what he says. I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Is that our problem in America? Look around. Are you aware of that? And does it happen to you? I mean, you get your paycheck. You think, man, I worked hard for this. I worked 40 hours to get this check. Some 50, some 60. Chase is working 6 days, 12 hours, right? What's that? 72 hours he's working every week. That's hard work, isn't it? You earn that. You deserve that pay, don't you? Be careful. It's easy then to become self-focused and think we're the ones who are providing all this provision when really it's providential provision that's coming our way, and that God gives us the power to make wealth. And every time we receive anything, we should receive it from the Lord's hand. He said, I don't want to forget the Lord, and I don't want to become so poor that I steal and dishonor the name of the Lord. So I shared with you this prayer last week. I put this on a card, and I offered, if anybody would like it, several responded first service. I will laminate this and give this to you to carry in your Bible if you like, because this is a prayer I'm learning to pray. It's simply this. Father, thank you for providentially looking ahead in my life and giving me the provision to do the kingdom work you've called me to do. That's it, isn't it? That's living this prayer. This really helps me. I mean, I've taped it in my office. I've put it in my Bible. And every day I'm reflecting on this idea. Father, I'm thanking him about needs I don't even know I have yet. And I'm thanking him in advance for providentially looking ahead in my life and giving me the provision to do what? What he wants me to do. My definition of prosperity is having enough to do what God wants you to do. You don't need any more than that. You say, well, yeah, we want abundance for every good. Well, yeah, that's what God wants you to do. You will have an abundance for every good deed. We looked at that last week. That's God's provision. So before we move on from this reflection, we want to add one other P to this, all right? Providential provision in the present. In the present. We want to focus on the word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. I think that's a key word. We could have said just give us our bread. He said give us our daily bread. This is significant. In fact, in your insert, there's a fill in the blank on the back. You'll see it. Because this is the heart of this. The key to living an abundant life, anybody in on that? The key to living an abundant life is developing a life of daily dependence. Fill that in. That's what this part of the prayer is about. God is wanting to build in us a dependence upon him, but a daily dependence. You all know these buckets over here. You've seen them before. They're my time buckets. I have them in my office. They always remind me of the reality of time. Because time only comes in three buckets, is that right? The past, right? The present, and the future. Here today, I believe this prayer is wanting to focus on this bucket here. And I propose to you today that this is our most important bucket. And when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we're not talking about the past, we're the future. Remember, God's looked ahead. I don't know about that. I'm living my life in this bucket right here. Amen? Here's the problem we have with living in this bucket. Some of you have great difficulty. The reason is you have great regrets about the past. And you think about it a lot, don't you? And there's some things in there you'd like, wish they'd never happened, but they have. There's some good things in the past, too. You know, the good old days. Remember the good old days? What did Ray tell us? We need to be thinking about the good new days that are coming, right? Where do we get them? Right here in this bucket, right here. But this bucket and the regrets of the past oftentimes will keep us from this bucket. What about the future? What's the problem with the future? What does this bucket contain? We don't know. And what happens with this bucket? How many of you are afraid of the future? You have any fear? See, I worry about the future. In fact, Jesus is going to address that. He addressed it around this prayer. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough concerns of its own. He said, listen, you just focus on today. Today is what it's all about. Rodney Moore, is Rodney here today? I don't see him. He's gone. He sent me by the way, I appreciate many of you send your devotions to me. It's interesting that people who send me devotions, they usually come at 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, something like that. So that must be when all the real cool devotion times are going on. And I get a text. Chase sends me a text. I know it's 4:40 is when he does. And Marshall, same way. You know, and one day Rodney sends me, hey, I had this devotion this week. It's from Jesus Calling. Not knowing anything about what I was going to be talking about, this is what it said. Man, I thought, this is it. It says, this is God talking to us. I am perpetually with you, taking care of you. That is the most important fact of your existence. I am not limited by time or space. My presence with you is a forever promise. You need not fear the future. Don't be afraid of it. For I'm already there. It's already looked ahead. When you make that quantum leap into eternity, you will find me waiting for you in heaven. Your future is in my hands. I release it to you day by day, moment by moment. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. I want you to live this day abundantly, seeing all there is to see, doing all there is to do. Don't be distracted by future concerns. Leave them to me. Each day of life is a glorious gift, but so few people, get this, I underline this, so few people know how to live within the confines of today. Much of their energy for abundant living spills over the timeline into tomorrow's worries, our past regrets. Is it true? Their remaining energy is sufficient only for limping through the day, not for living in the full. I am training you to keep your focus on my presence in the present. My presence in the present. This is how to receive abundant life, which flows freely from the throne of grace. So I'm going to put that in the present bucket. We're going to set these over here. They're reality in our lives. Is that right? I mean, they're real. Past and present. We all get to experience it. But today, I want to focus on this bucket here, because this is where we live our life. And this is where this prayer is going to become reality for us, and we're going to be able to fulfill that little devotional that Rodney said. But he didn't even know about it. He said, I started reading it, and I'm going, oh, glory to God. And I just began praising the Lord. I said, Lord, help me not to limp across the line in living for you every day. And so I just right then began to pray, oh, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And I thought about a great biblical story, and it's in Exodus 16, verses 4 through 5. And we know what's happened. The children of Israel are in the wilderness. They're on this short journey that became 40 years. Should have only taken a few months, but it got extended because of decisions they made. And there was a point in time where they were very hungry, and this prayer wasn't reality in their life. And they began to complain, and they said, we want to go back to Egypt because at least we had food to eat there. Isn't it amazing how we were deceived in times of need, aren't we? They were willing to go back into slavery because they didn't understand that God was their provision. And we know this story about manna, and it's in Exodus 16, verses 4 through 5, and it's recorded for us. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people are to go out, how often? Each day. And gather enough for, how much? The day. Fill this bucket. Don't fill those buckets. Fill this bucket. This is the only bucket you take with you to get the manna. Why did God do that? In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Chase came up to me after first service, and he raised the question, why would God need to test them? Didn't he know? I hate hard questions like that, you know what? Sometimes God will test what's in your heart so you'll know, because he already knows. Remember, he's forward, but you don't know. And sometimes, have you ever had it happen where you had an event in your life and something came to the surface? You go, where did that come from? You didn't even know it was in your heart, but God revealed it. So he's testing them. And then look at this part of the instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. How come? Why? What's he preparing them for? The Sabbath. The Sabbath. It's a day of rest. The Sabbath for this bucket right here, it's a day that was given to us as a gift from God. Because the children of Israel didn't have a day of rest in Egypt. And God said, every time the Sabbath comes, I want you to remember, I brought you out of the land of bondage. And every time you have Sabbath, because Sabbath was created for you, not you for the Sabbath. It's a gift to me from you. And he said, so much so, I don't want you to work on the Sabbath. He said, I want you to gather enough for the 2 days and trust me for that seventh day. Well, I want to do a little acrostic with you real quick. And so you just flip your page over, you'll see it daily. We're going to look at the word daily. What does it look like to live in this bucket every day? First D, the D, discipleship and the four Ds. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, to be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross, what? Daily, and follow me. He said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to follow me in this bucket. You're going to follow me. Yeah, you're going to follow me into the future, sure. The past, hey, I'm taking care of the past. But this is the bucket you're going to be my disciple in, and that is every day. Remember the four D's. We talk about them often. I know in the New King James it says, if anyone desires to come after me. How many of you know God gives you a desire? Do you have a desire to come after him? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you don't have it. Sometimes it's okay. You can say it. I mean, there's some Sundays you really want to come to church and some Sundays you don't. Is that true? Oh, it's evident some people had that desire today. Not to come. Hey, there's Sundays if I wasn't preaching, I might not be here. I've got to be honest with you. This isn't one of them. I was excited to come here today because I knew what I was going to be preaching on. But there are days, Connie says, you got to go. You're the preacher. You can't stay home. Well, everybody else gets to do it when they want to do it. Well, that's too bad. That's too bad. You have responsibilities, okay? God wants to give us on a daily basis these desires to follow. Remember the four D's. Remember what they are? Starts with desire. Everything does. And God gives it to you. The devil's not going to give you a desire to come to church. There's desires you don't have to pray and discern. You know, like I'm driving down the road and God, I get this desire to send my wife flowers. You don't rebuke the devil at that moment, right? That's not the devil. Yeah, bless your wife today. No. You have a desire. What always follows desire? What always follows desire is decision. You have a desire, then you make a decision. You got to decide what you're going to do. And now what comes after decision? This is the word, oh, and right now I'm experiencing this word, discipline. Discipline. Yeah, doing the PT, the exercise. Oh, that hurts. You got to do it. I realized this week from my physical therapist, who love that really means personal torture. I think is what it means. But the pain, but I realize, you know, they're hurting me, but they're not harming me. They're hurting me, but they're not harming me. I remember when that PT guy, we call it, Big Bob comes along. He goes, "How far can you bend your knee?" I said, "About this far," and he just smiled. He said, "Count to three and breathe real deep." I should have known. You'd think I wouldn't be that naive. Oh, okay. One, two, three. And he said, "Release until I tell you to stop." I released all at one time. It was just go fall. I said, "Man." But at first I thought he had harmed me, but he didn't. He just hurt me. Sometimes God will hurt you. You'll go through some pain, but he will not harm you. Remember that. And what's the fourth thing? Because discipline, I need discipline to get through. There's times I just have to have discipline. But it has some point become the fourth D, which is delight. So I have a desire. I make a decision. I follow it with discipline. But then it becomes delight. I don't want to serve God out of duty. Somebody's flipped that D in there. No, it's not duty. It's delight, isn't it? Now, there are days when my desire is not what it needs. I need to fall back on discipline. But listen to me, church. You cannot live in discipline. Can't do it. Discipline will fail you at some point. You cannot live 100% of your existence of discipleship in just discipline alone. You must experience the river of delight, and God, that's where God's taking you. And how does it happen? It happens on a daily basis. You get to experience it every day in this bucket. What about A? A. This is important. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What's he calling us to do? He wants you to live in this bucket, doesn't he? Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. How do you not sin? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. What's he saying? Deal with it. Is he saying carry it over? Is he bringing it into the future? Is he saying, no, he's saying here, you got to deal with it right now. Otherwise, it becomes sin, right? How do we keep it from becoming sin? We deal with it in the present. It's all about daily dependency, is it? That's what this is about. And so the A is anger and anxiety limited. What's it limited to? It's limited to this bucket, okay? I. This might sound strange to you. To be independently dependent. To be independently dependent. Say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, let's think about it naturally. We got a baby coming this afternoon. That's going to be cool. Children are dependently dependent. So what do you mean? Well, they can't dress themselves. They can't feed themselves. We're pro-life. We're a pro-life church. And we're not ashamed of that. And you hear this phrase sometimes in the defense of abortion saying, well, You can abort a child until they're, what's the word they use? They're viable. What's that mean, viable? It means they can live outside the womb on their own, quote unquote. Really? Take a newborn baby and lay him on the bed and come back 3 days later. Was that child viable? Couldn't live outside the womb on its own. It needs what? Help, right? So when we become Christians, I want you to think about this. When you were a brand new Christian, thank goodness, we were just like a newborn baby. And we were dependently dependent, weren't we? I mean, we depend on God for everything. But what happens as we grow? Our children grow, right? We see these little children up here, isn't it great? But wouldn't it be terrible if you had a 22-year-old son at home and you wanted to help him get dressed every morning? You'd say, something's wrong. That's not right. Hey, would you feed me like you used to? Yeah, just put it right in there, wouldn't it? You'd say, feed yourself. Get dressed yourself. Yeah, what's the matter? I know what my mom would say. Your arm broken? That's what she'd say, right? She didn't say that to me when I was a baby. In fact, she made a little bottle and stuck it in my mouth. She waited on me hand and foot. And then I got older. And I became independently dependent. And I believe that's what happens to us spiritually. We become independently dependent. We'll say, what do you mean? God's part, my part. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do you see the independent dependence there? They plant, you water, but who brings the effect? God does, right? So I'm dependent on God for the effect, but I'm independent in that God expects me, I have responsibility in the kingdom of God to plant and water. Another scripture that's not on the screen, you might write it down in your notes, Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13, says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose, our pleasure. Do you see it there? There's the working out, and then there's the working in. God worked in us. He did the work. We couldn't do it. God saved us. He redeemed us. I couldn't save myself. And now that he's done that, now I'm working out my salvation. I'm independently dependent. And that has a connotation in the original text of a miner mining for precious metal. It's in the ground. It's been put in there. It's the miner's job to dig it out. And that's what we're doing. How often are we doing that? Every day. Every day we're digging for that precious gift that God's given to us. Amen? You are independently dependent. You're independently dependent. You have responsibility, even in your daily walk. And what about L? This is important. Learning and listening. Learning and listening. Acts 17:11 from the NIV. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. I have found that most people who are growing in discipleship spend time every day in the Word. Now, I'm not talking legalistically. I'm talking about they have a desire to do it. That's why those texts come to me early in the morning. Somebody has a desire to be in the Word, and they're learning and they're listening. How often are they learning and listening? They're learning every day. Is that right? Every single day, they're learning. And listen, Proverbs 8:34. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. This is a daily walk of dependence. Now this prayer is taking on new meaning, isn't it? What about why? Why is your obedience? Psalms 95:7 from the New English Translation says, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep he owns. Today, if only you would obey him. Today. Where does obedience take place? So most of you are all worried about the past and your disobedience. Are you worried about the future? When God says, why don't you just focus on today? Just be obedient today. Just live for me today. Because if you don't, here's what happens. Because disobedience takes place here too, and our hearts get hard. Remember the definition of hard-heartedness? Overexposure and under-response to truth. Who's most vulnerable to hard-heartedness? Heathens? No, we are. And how does it work? Every time we look into the Word of God and we go, well, yeah, but. Every time you go, yeah, but, your heart gets a little bit harder. Have you been there? I have. Think you know what the Word of God says, but yet, and how does that happen? How does your heart get hard? Does this all of a sudden happen? No, it happens little by little every day. Every day. So when you think of the why, think of my daily obedience to God. Because here's the reality, folks, and I want you to underscore this today. If you will commit to a life of faithfulness to God on a daily basis, don't worry about tomorrow, don't worry about yesterday, just today. I'm going to live for God today. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself in the middle of God's will and wonder how you got there. How did you get here? How did I get here? It all came from this bucket. One day, a decision, something. See, God's the initiator. I'm just the responder. But it comes every day. It comes on a daily basis. That's why each day is important. And the enemy wants to distract you. He wants you to regret the past. He wants you to be afraid of the future. And then he's going to run the clock out on this bucket. And you're not going to be able to do what you need to do on a daily basis. So it's all about living for God every single day. We're going to come to the Lord's table this morning. And I can't help but think of John 6. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and guess what he was talking about? He was talking about the manna from heaven. And he said these words. He said, the bread that Moses gave to the children of Israel is not the bread that I'm giving to you today. The bread that's coming to you today is from heaven. And the disciples said these words, Lord, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Isn't that awesome? It's all about every day, isn't it? And we're going to come to the table today, and we're going to give you this invitation. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, today's your day. I don't save anybody. There's no little card you got to read off of. You just say, Lord, I want to commit my whole life to you. I'm going to surrender to you today. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's not what happened yesterday. Well, I get cleaned up from the past, you know, because if you knew my past, you wouldn't probably say those things. Oh, yeah, God knows about your past. He also knows about your future. And today he wants to meet us. And today we respond to him. This is your day. Today is your day. You chose to come here today. Maybe it's your habit. Maybe you even wrestle with coming. But you're here today, and I believe it's by God's will. And he looked forward and he saw this. And this is your moment to move into a position with God and commit this day to him. It's the overflow. There's a capacity of this bucket, which is you, but the overflow of this bucket is God's capacity. This bucket does not limit us, does it? The overflow is for others around us, but it all comes out of this bucket. So we invite you to come to this table this morning. If you're a child of God, you don't have to be a member of this church. If you're, remember, our Father, which art in heaven, that's the family of God. If you're part of that family, you'll not be turned away today. But we're going to come today, and we're going to celebrate this daily faithfulness that God is calling us to today. It starts with this table. Amen? Would you like to participate in that today? We're going to do that. Father, we come to the table this morning. We dip the bread in the cup, and we remember what you've done. Lord, thank you that you gave us the desire. You gave it to us. You initiated it, and we responded. And you're taking us to that place of delight, and you're doing it through our daily walk of faithfulness. I pray today that as we come to this table, we will release the regrets of the past. We'll trust you with the future. And we'll focus on today. Give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you for coming this morning. You could have been somewhere else, but you chose to be here. And I'm grateful. I don't take that for granted. I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. What I have to say is important. I hope you listen to it. Get the message. Don't let the messenger get in the way, but get the message. Today, my prayer is for this week that you will live in this bucket. Would you just see that? I'm trying to make it a week. Emma, see, we just default to it. How about today? Let's just start today, okay? And we're going to live a life of faithfulness and obedience to God just today. Don't worry about whether you can do it tomorrow or the next day. Don't worry about the failures of the past. Just today, this is what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to commit to this. And you're going to end up right in the middle of God's will and wonder how you got there. And that's what God's going to do. I just believe that. Lamentations 3:22 says his mercies are new every morning. I wonder why. Because we're going to need them every day, right? Because mercy's for the guilty. And God knew. And it's just like manna to us, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, I die daily. 2 Corinthians 4:16, my inner man is being renewed day by day. It's all about this bucket. This is my bucket. Make it your bucket today, would you? Let's live it the way God called us to do it. Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to dismiss in just a minute, but we want to give an invitation. If you're here today, you've never given your life to Jesus. Listen, we all come, the ground is level at the cross. Nobody's looking down. We're just all here together, aren't we? Somebody said, well, I don't want to go to church because I'm a hypocrite. I want to put a sign on the front of this church, the church for hypocrites. So come and join us because we're all here. We all fall short, don't we? It's this daily bucket that we're, and what makes us say that is those buckets there, but it's today, what God's doing for us today. So would you grab a hold of that? And we just invite you, if you're here, and just give your heart to him. And God just wants to love on you. That's what it's about. If you've already made him your Savior and your Lord, but you just maybe need some help in getting out of those buckets and getting into this bucket 100%, we want to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we want to pray with you. You just need encouragement? You need a hug? We'll give you a hug. We've got plenty of hugs. You just need to be loved on today. Maybe that's what you need for this day. Amen? Are you ready to do that? You ready? Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to come and listen to this message. And I don't know what you spoke to the hearts of your sheep today, but I know you did. I know what I said, but I don't know what they heard. And I pray that you will give them the faith to obey and to respond, not tomorrow, not the next day, but today. 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 Before we lay our head on our pillow tonight, we want to live this message. So we declare today that you are giving to us our daily provision. Thank you that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Let us walk in that reality today in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.